C1G.
Number 19B.
Well, there's only half an hour left, and it's not enough for doing the whole tone of truth. It's a long tone, and so that gives me a chance to make a little break in the subject. It's a heavy subject, this second record of creation, and this gives me a chance to touch on an unexpected subject. So I want to talk to you about epitomes. You know, we always talk about, we have here this and that epitome. And you know that is a way that actually nobody works and teaches and writes. And that is a way how John Dolly was teaching. It is therefore a method that is a bit unique to what we are doing in the line of John Dolly's teaching and presenting what he has seen and what we are seeing in the Bible and in the textbook. And that epitomizing of subject is not always understood. There are many students that understand it, others that have not the faintest idea what we are really driving at with epitomes. So I just want to quickly to build up that whole subject of epitomizing. Because you know that when you take up a book from John Dolly, like the Bible Talks, he always gives epitomes. You take the Oxford Summer Schools, he always gives to every subject epitomes. If you pick up my books, many of them are giving epitomes. And therefore, there must be something behind that method of using epitomes in teaching a subject. And not always has it been seen what it means. How on earth John Dolly picked up that method, I don't know. And I guess he doesn't know either. It was just one of these things that precipitated itself on his mentality and on his consciousness, and he took it up in a natural way, using it without really first asking what is the value of it, what is really the method of it, and perhaps only afterwards, usually looking back retrospectively, one can explain much closer what it means. The subject that we are considering is always the infinite one, infinitude, immensity. Then we have seen that immensity cannot be grasped as a whole, or we would have to be bigger than the whole. So the method of the mystics is not the method of a scientist. The method of the Eastern mystic, anyway, of the older generation of mystics was to be one, to come into union, into the mystical union with the Infinite One, and to be finally absorbed in the Infinite One, a state of nirvana. The way of science is a different one. The way of science says, and in every science says, that the infinite subject of whatever that subject is, no matter if it's chemistry or physics or biology, or if it's being, as in our science, the science is always that which takes an infinite subject and tries to reduce that infinite subject to as few as possible elements so as to form a system. See, it really tries in every science. That's what Mrs. Eddy indicated, that every idea within the whole must have gender, must have kind, must have a classification. And therefore, to take the infinite ideas of being and take them and classify them in as few as possible categories is a scientific method. So, we can see now in the textbook that what Mrs. Eddy has done is to take the infinite and reduce the infinite to three big categories, the seven, the four, and the four. Those categories are symbolized in her writings, in her printings, by capitalizing the terms. So the capitalized terms are the language of the Infinite One. They indicate that minimum of category in order to explain the Infinite One. Now, when one sees that and sees that we can, so to say, reduce to a few categories the Infinite One, then we have only done the first step, namely the divine analysis of being. We analyze the divine being into the seven, and then the four, and the four. The second step is always to synthesize those categories again. Because through that synthesis, we really arrive at the infinite calculations. So that we can use those categories as the basis for the divine infinite calculus. Just as in math or in arithmetic, you reduce all the infinite possible calculations first to the system, to the digits, and to the four ways of operation. That's the minimum of categories that you can have. That's the analysis of it. Then you have a starting point for calculating, and by seeing the interrelationships of these categories of the 10 digits and the four order of operation, you can really calculate infinitely. So you arrive at the infinite through science and not through mysticism. That's clear. Now, we have been studying first the analysis of the Infinite One. And we ask ourselves now, what is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love? What is word, Christ, Christianity and science? What is Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science and science itself? We have done that study and are still doing it in order just to polish, so to say, the tonality of these categories. But as I said, this is only the first step, so as to get our tools with which then afterwards we begin to calculate. So those capitalized terms per se are the tools. How we calculate then is really showing how each one of these capitalized terms can stand in relationship to each other one. How the seven can relate either to the Word, or to the Christ, or Christianity and science, and every time we get a new calculation, a new result. And we can take the seven and say, how do they calculate on the levels of science? And you get other results. And so you can begin to calculate infinitely. That means that actually, if we would have a very, 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 very polished sense of our tools, we could speak really the new language. We just would explain something to you and say, yes, that's life at the point of Christianity in absolute Christian science. That's the answer. I use just these symbols. Actually, when we give treatment, or when we just become aware of what is the truth and the reality about something, if we have a very refined, polished sense of those capitalized terms, we actually begin to think that way. We are no more beginning to think in sentences, just in combining those elements that are fundamental to being. That's how we begin to look at things. Whereas the beginner, he makes sentences. See? He says, well, God creates, he creates only ideas, and ideas are mind, so God creates only ideas of mind, and if he creates only ideas of mind, then he does not create the very opposite, he does not create mortal mind's creation. He has a long sentence. If you are trained in the capitalized term, you just know mind, and that includes all the rest that I have been saying, because it includes all the other categories. It includes the other categories, even the categories of the apparent opposite. So, finally, when we contemplate being, and being is nothing but the capitalized term, and being does not know any grammar, does not any syntax, it doesn't talk in sentences, it doesn't talk in paragraphs, being just is aware of itself, can you see that? Then really syntax is eclipsed, grammar is eclipsed, and syntax is also eclipsed and becomes just spiritual order. But if Mrs. Eddy would have taught that way, and would have written a textbook that way, you know how it would read, huh? It would read, first chapter would read, huh? Mind as mind. No, it would read, the Word as the Word, mind as mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle, mind as life, mind as truth, mind as love. It's still the Word as the Word, in spirit as mind, spirit as spirit, spirit as soul, and so on. And it would give on one simple page the whole chapter on prayer, because that's the tone. But nobody would understand such a book, nor would anybody buy such a book, so it's no use to print it. She had to adapt herself, really, to the level of human thinking where it was necessary to speak in the language of the people, in sentences, adapted, really, to the situation. But in speaking to the sentences, she just had to, what shall I say, what is the right word, you know? She had just to put a lot of words into it. You know, preposition, articles, and verbs, and I don't know what, in order to bring out mind as mind. She has to write the whole paragraph as that. And so, the text is rather elaborated in order to bring out the core of what being is. There is a lot of heavy stuff in it. I don't know what the term is. Can you gather what I want to say, you know? That instead of just using the terms that really matter, a lot of off and but and why and is and end and things like that, and some adjectives and some articles have to be brought in, though they don't exist in being. The if and the why and the buts and the off and the also and the therefore and so on, they don't exist in being. Can you see that? It's only the synonym, the capitalized term that exists in being. But in order to teach it, it has to be translated into the language that is spoken on the street, and therefore it's rather full of unimportant, so to say, terms. Now, that's adapted to the age in which we live. But we are growing out of an age in which we live. She has said, she has reduced divine metaphysics to a system that is adapted to the age in which we live. But she lived 100 years ago. And she said it may take 200 or 300 years for her text to be understood. So we already have 100 years behind us, so another 100 years, we are already in the 200 years, and nobody thinks that in 200 or 300 years we would like to read the textbook the way it is, because it's too cumbersome. It doesn't go to the core of the thing in a simple way, because the core of it is only the capitalized terms. Now, can you see, there must be a transitionary stage out of these long sentences and paragraphs and explanations and ifs and whys and buts. And you remember I said this 20 pages before, and actually then after another 50 pages I may tell you that. All that can be discarded if one is thinking in terms of capitalized terms. They just don't appear. But from that rather elaborated text as we have to that very simple language of the capitalized term, there is a great way to go. And that therefore we need somehow a bridge from the long sentences to this clear, cut, straightforward capitalized term meaning. And that is the epitomizing, that bridge. What an epitome does is to take a long story, a long exposition, a long presentation, be it a presentation of a whole paragraph, be it even a text that runs over 10 paragraphs, and to be able to reduce out of that a multitude of expressions and terms and words to distill out of it the essence. What essence? The essence that must always be brought out in capitalized terms, because they are the essence. So it isn't a question of just making a nice summary of a paragraph or of 10 paragraphs into just a nice sentence. That's not epitomizing it, to just make a nice sentence. It must be brought back to the categories. So the epitome must bring out the capitalized terms in its essence that runs through that text. Do you see that? So if we make epitomes, it is reducing a lot of words to a capitalized term, but not just to the capitalized terms. Or we are already at the end of what we want to show, where we would just say mind as mind in word as word. Huh? So on on that transitionary stage, we must combine sentences, but sentences that are construed so that they bring out fundamentally only the capitalized terms. Then they are true epitomes. And not just a summary of what one thinks is a summary. One naturally must hear in a paragraph or over a longer section the tone of one of the capitalized term, or of two or three of the capitalized term, and bring those capitalized term into focus in an epitome. Therefore, if I epitomize a long story just with an epitome of one synonymous term, then I have perhaps an epitome as we had it in the days of creation, mind. What did we have? We just would say in mind, mind manifests itself as a creation of ideas. So you have there a short epitome where a synonymous term appears to give the tone of it, but not just saying mind, but somehow indicating the office of that mind as a creator. Now, that would be the simple method of epitomizing. So that you can see, for instance, if you take up one of John Dolittle's books on the Bible, that, take Matthew or so, he would have to show first the tone of mind, and say that the first few chapters have the tone of mind of creative ability and shows the whole generation from Abraham right up to Joseph and then to Mary, and just say, well, that is mind, but not just mind, because people would not understand it, perhaps would say, here we have the creative mind or the generation of mind, just indicating that. Now, as we have said, there is a divine infinite calculus. Therefore, we see that these capitalized terms are always somehow related to each other. So that mind never stands alone, really. That is a too great abbreviation of things. That usually mind would reflect also the other synonymous terms. So we have mind as spirit, mind as soul. Can you see that? But if I just say mind as mind as spirit, mind as soul, it doesn't really ring a bell, because the student is not yet too well acquainted with these terms, so he needs some kind of a further explanation. Therefore, we usually show it by bringing in ideas of those synonymous terms that are reflected. If you take here, for instance, mind, now you can read it. It is mind in its own sense. Mind as mind is what? Mind as the overtone, and then the reflected tone as mind creates all ideas. Ideas are always an idea of mind. So you have in such a short sentence, not just a statement, but a short abbreviation of the synonymous, of the combination of the synonymous terms. Therefore, you read as mind as spirit, that mind's ideas are only good. What does only good mean? Spirit. That's a subtone. So instead of saying mind as spirit, which wouldn't really convey yet to the student very much, we specify it and say mind's ideas are only good. You have mind reflecting a little bit of soul. You have mind of soul, and we elaborate it and say, mind makes its own record. A record of ideas, if I know what a record is, namely that it is identifying a story clearly, I have a tone of mind as soul. Therefore, the ability of epitomizing is quite an art, because in order to epitomize properly, one must always be able to distinguish which is the main tone and what is the subtone, the reflector tone. See, we could also say, instead of mind as spirit, we could say mind reflecting spirit. The as is just an abbreviation which is very convenient for us. So in reading these epitomes, you should be aware that you read so-called spiritual mathematics. You read always calculations. You don't read a sentence. You read mind as mind. Mind creates all in ideas. What is that? That's mind as mind. If I read mind's ideas are only good, I read mind as spirit. If I read mind makes its own record, its definite history, and I read mind as soul. And that's the way how you get on with your polishing of the synonymous term and the calculus of it. Don't treat these sentences that you have here as sentences. Read them, but at once try to translate them into just synonymous terms, so that at first they finally becomes to you just one thing, mind as mind as spirit, yes, mind as soul, and you see the whole story. And that helps more and more through years and years of practice, years and years of culturing and polishing consciousness, really to come to that final stage where we feel all what we need is actually only the synonymous terms. No, not the synonymous, the capitalized terms. Because the same thing has happened here. We can have word as word, we had that too, word as a Christ, word as Christianity, and word as sign, and little by little, through those epitomes, our consciousness should be cultured into calculating only with those terms that represent God. Yes, that's it.